We found out in Ephesians 6, and let's just read it again. We'll start at verse number 10. Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might? His might. The power of His might, not ours. You're not strong in your own power. I don't care how strong you are physically, or how strong mentally you think you are, or how much endurance you are. You're not strong in your own power against the enemy. We are to be strong in His power. The power of His might. And put on, now here it is, the whole armor of God. How are we going to live victorious in the world that we now live in, but we're not of? By living in the whole armor of God. And what we started learning last week and what we're going to finish learning tonight is the armor of God is truly what Christ brings to us. It's truly Christ. It's a perfect picture of Christ and what He brings to us and what He has left for us. It's the Father's provision for us. The Father provides for us, and let's read on. Let's put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How many know you don't need the whole armor of God to be ready for heaven? Come on now, you gotta hear that. You don't need the whole armor of God for the day that we live in eternity in heaven. You need the armor of God while you're still living here. Okay? So you gotta understand that. You need the armor of God while you're living in this world. And you put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age and the spiritual host of wickedness in high places and heavenly places. That's what we're wrestling against. That's what the enemy is trying to fight with us about. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. This is how you overcome powers and principalities, right? Are y'all still with me? It's how you overcome the rulers of the darkness of this age, how you overcome the spiritual hosts of wickedness. You take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. And we find there in Christ the provision of the Father, because He gives us a shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I told you last week, that shield of faith and that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is how we operate against our past and towards our future. That shield of faith and sword of the Spirit, that shield of faith tells the enemy, you can't drag my past up anymore. Because faith tells me if I'm in Christ, I'm a new creature. I have a shield of faith that tells me my past does not define who I am going forward from here. My past does not determine my pathway from here. That shield of faith, and the shield of faith also says, this is the direction I'm going in my future. I'm looking unto Christ, okay? The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. God provides us faith and the Word in order to walk on this horizontal past, present, future line. Faith and the Word. As we deal with our past, as we look to our future and we live in our present, you must have faith and the Word. You must use those provisions of the Father. That's why it's so important that you know the Word of God. You must speak the Word of God. You must declare the Word of God. You must agree with the Word of God. And you must activate faith. And faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Right? Isn't that what the Word tells us? And so that's what the Father has provided us as we walk. But not only that, and I'm not going to get bogged down here, because that's where the Word and faith, we talked about that Word and faith. And of course, the Word and faith tells us to keep God in the right position. And the Word and faith also establishes us in faith. Okay, so we understand that. In the pathways, this is the direction. But then we have Christ's promises in this armor. Not only do we have the Father's provision of faith and the Word, because how many know Jesus was the Word become flesh? The Father provided Him for us, and the Father has given us a measure of His faith, each one of us. Amen. Okay, so that's the Father's provision. And then we have Christ's promises that's given to us. He's promised us. And here's what Christ has promised us, and this is where we started and left off last week. He's given us a helmet of salvation. That's a promise that He says, know this. Have this mind. The mind of Christ is the helmet of salvation. And that helmet of salvation truly keeps the fact us focused on the fact that God must be in His rightful place. That helmet of salvation truly ingrains us and establishes us into faith. The right thought processes. The thoughts of a saved person. Salvation. The full promise of the Father. It's the mind of Christ. I told you last week, if you'll remember, we talked about Iron Man. Do y'all remember that? We said, you know, Iron Man's just a normal man. He's smart, he's intelligent, but when he puts the suit on and he puts the helmet on and that helmet locks in, all of a sudden he can hear things that no one else can hear. He can see things that no one else can see. He's got a GPS system in him that takes him where no one else can know where he's going. He's tuned in to this that's greater than him. That's what the helmet of salvation does for us. When we understand that we have been saved, redeemed by Jesus Christ, we and the mind of Christ, same mind that was in Jesus can be in us. When we understand that we can hear Him speak when no one else does. We can see His path when no one else can see it. That's what the helmet of salvation does. It focuses us on God is the key. God is the focus. It establishes us in faith. And of course, it's applied to our past. And it is the reason for our future. Okay? Helmet of salvation. And then the second thing that we talked about was not only did we were we given that, but we were given a breastplate of righteousness. How many remember what we said righteous means? Anybody? Thank you. Right standing before God. Righteousness. That's what we're in right position now. We've got a breastplate that covers our heart and our life and all of our being. That's righteousness, not our righteousness. Amen. Somebody should say praise the Lord for that. Because you can't stand right before God. But Jesus has, is, and will. And if we're in Him, and His breastplate of righteousness has covered us, and we're in Him, then we stand right before the Father. Amen. That's that breath. That's the assurance. It's not about us. It's about Him. I have a breastplate of righteousness. I have an assurance that I'm right before Him through Jesus Christ. That of no work of my own, lest I could boast. And righteousness hits this all of these paths as well. To be in right standing with God fills in the gaps of that. Now, so here we have it. We're seeing it now. We're beginning to see the picture, but we stopped there last week. So now let's carry on a little bit. The next thing that he tells us that he has is we are given this belt of truth. That's what the word says. It's there in Ephesians chapter 6. Take up the whole armor of God. Having gird your waist with truth. You've got a belt of truth. And do you know what that belt does? that belt holds it all together. Amen. Right? That belt keeps it all together. Keeps everything right. So you've got to have truth. Truth keeps it. If you ever lose the truth of what Christ did, who Christ is, who we are in Christ, if you ever lose the truth of that, it all falls apart. That's why the enemy fights so hard against truth. That's why the enemy tries to interject doubt. That's why the enemy tries to interject deception. Because if he can ever shake us of the truth, it all falls apart. Come on now. There have been many lives fall apart because they believe the lie of the devil and not the truth of God. Because without the truth of God, without being grounded in the truth that God is supreme, worship can never happen. If you don't believe God created this, made this, and is supreme and great and mighty, you'll never put Him in His rightful place. Truth has allowed now, your lack of truth has allowed it all to fall apart. If you don't have faith that He did what He said He did, accomplished what He said that He accomplished, then if you lose that truth, everything falls apart. If you lose the truth that Jesus took care of your past on the cross, if you lose that truth, then you will repeat the old habits. Life will fall apart. If you lose sight of the truth that He's coming again, I don't care when you believe He's coming again. I want you to hear me. I believe He's coming soon. But that's the secondary issue. We can debate about that. We can have all of our discussions and, well, I believe He's pre-trib, and I believe He's mid-trib, and I believe He's post-trib, and I believe He's a-trib, and... Right? What? We could debate all of that, but here's the thing, the truth that we better always never let go of. He's coming again. Because that truth holds it all together. That means we have a future. If He's coming again, I have a future. Amen. And so you've got to understand, we need truth. We must apply the truth. It must hold everything together. If we let go, that's what we're battling with right now in the church. People within the body, wolves in sheep's clothing, are trying to take away from the truth of what the Word has presented to us. Amen. They try to pull us away from that. They try to say, oh, you can't believe everything the Word says. Oh, you need to... If you don't stay with the belt of truth, everything gets loose. And when it gets loose, then it's not useful. Then it ends up falling away, and you will be damaged in the battle. Get the picture of this. Get the picture of this person, this soldier. Would have been a picture of a Roman soldier in their time with his armor on. And get a picture of a man that doesn't have his belt on, holding everything together, holding it all apart, running into battle. Amen. I played softball with a guy when I was younger, and we were playing on our Garvey's painting team. We had a softball team, and we'd invited this guy to come out play with us, and he got out there one night, and he had his little flask of water, and he didn't have water in his little flask. Amen. He had some other substance in his flask, and he was drinking that, and it got late in the game, and he came up to bat. If you've ever played softball other than Christian leagues, you'll know there's a lot of that goes on. And he came up late in the game, and somehow he hit the ball. I guess he picked the right one out of the three he probably was seeing, and he hit the right one, and he took off running, and about the time he crossed first and headed to second, his pants fell down. Kid you not. I don't know if you were there then or not. He was running out there, and his pants began to fall down, I guess, and he went to try to reach for them, and they fell farther, and then he shouldn't have been running anyway, and then he stumbled and fell and made a big mess of everything. That's what happens if you lose truth. Amen. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The Word of God is true. There is no doubt in God's Word. We better hold to the truth. And truth doesn't change. Let me make a statement to you. And I taught on this for a while earlier. But let me make the statement again right now. Facts in our world change. Truth does not. You don't believe me? For a long time in our world, the fact was that the world was flat. Amen. As for a long time in our world, that was fact. Right? It wasn't the truth, but it was a fact. Facts can change. So you better be based on the truth. And there's only one truth. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. There's no truth other than that. He is. You can have facts. You can have things that make sense in the world you live in. But if you don't have the truth, it's going to all fall apart. Amen. Y'all. So that belt of truth is vital. It's important. It deals with the past, deals with the future, focuses on worship, and brings us to faith. And then we have down here, okay, we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We have the Word, the gospel of peace. that Christ has made peace between the Father and us. And that's the good news of the gospel that we go with. Amen? See, if you try to go on anything else, you don't have sure footing. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus made peace between the Father and man. And if we receive Him, we have peace with the Father. That's the good news. That's what we share with people. We don't share how great we are. That's nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with Jesus made peace on the cross, paid the price for sin, made peace with the Father on behalf of man, that if we would believe in Him, now we are at peace with the Father. And it's a gift of grace, and it's God's mercy, and that's the good news of the gospel, and that's how we go in this world. That's how we walk. That's how we move. Understanding we can have peace in who we are in Christ, and we can share that peace with others. That's what the good news of the gospel is all about. Amen. It is the gospel of peace. Your feet need to be shod with that. That means everywhere you go, that needs to be the steadying factor. That needs to be the sure footing that you go on, is the fact that Jesus made peace with the Father. How many know if we believe that, it changes everything all the time? In every situation, if we can put on our gospel shoes that tell us Jesus made peace with the Father on my behalf, then anywhere I go, I'm walking in His favor. Whew. Amen. Did you hear that? I said, if you got the right shoes on, anywhere you go, you can walk in comfort and you can walk in favor. You can have sure footing. We went hiking when we went to Colorado for our vacation, and we got us shoes that would work for the terrain we were going to be in. Because that was the only way. We got some hiking boots on so that we could walk sure-footed, and we could accomplish what we were out to accomplish. And because we had those shoes on, we could be more confident in how we walked. If we had went in our tennis shoes, or we had went in our cowboy boots, or Veronica had went in her high heels, she wouldn't have been very confident. Amen? You wouldn't have made it. Yeah, you wouldn't have made it very far that way. You would have been uncomfortable. You couldn't have made it. You didn't have adequate footwear. You couldn't go. But when we get the right shoes on, we can go. Amen? And the right shoes for us that keep us on sure footing, on solid ground, that is the good news we share with everyone, is the gospel of peace. And that is Jesus put us at peace with the Father. That's the armor we walk in. Okay, that's the armor that we live in. That gives us, empowers us to go and gets us ready for service for others. Do you see that? This is the picture of the full armor. That's the picture. Okay, that's what we're looking at. And that's the way you win victory. Now that looks pretty complicated, but really it's not, because it's all in Christ. This is all what Christ did. It's not about us. It's all what Christ did. So what are we doing? We're getting dressed. But hold on. There's a whole lot more to that. I'm not going to spend a long time here because we'll come back to it. But not only do we have all that, but then not only do we have the provision of the Father, not only do we have the promises of Christ, but then we are empowered by the Spirit. Amen. Now, I'm going to come back to this on another night, because I got somewhere else I want to go to close tonight. But I'm just going to give these to you, but we're going to come back to them. Here's how we are empowered by the Spirit. Here's what the Word says. Well, first of all, it says He gives us fruit of the Spirit. That means our life now produces something. And it doesn't produce this battle within of these high things that exalt itself above God. 2 Corinthians 10, you can go read about it. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. Neither is it the works of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 deals with the works of the flesh. It's not that. But what Christ did for us, and then when He ascends and He sends the Spirit down this path, the Spirit empowers us and gives us the ability to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? And not only that, but we are given gifts of the Spirit. Amen. And we'll go through those. There's 9 mentioned in 1 Corinthians. There's more mentioned in Romans 12. We'll talk about the gifts of the Spirit, because that's a part of how we overcome. That's the Spirit's part to produce. The Father's part was He gave the provision. Christ fulfilled it all. and gives the promises and is the promise. And then he ascends and says, now I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send another one. He's going to empower you. And the Spirit now empowers us. He empowers us to produce fruit. He gives gifts to the body. And then we are given by the Spirit unity of the body. Ephesians 4. We're going to talk about that as well. Because that causes us to rally around Jesus and His Word. Because this is really not a picture of just you. This is a picture of all of us. That's the body of Christ. That's all of us together. And then He doesn't even stop there. He also gives us, the Spirit does, ministry gifts. That fivefold ministry. Right? Apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. He gives us the ministry gifts to equip us to further, to take us farther into this. Now here's what I want to say, and then we're going to move to the direction I really want to go for the remainder of the time together. But here's what He did. If you remember, I told you this last week. The enemy intimidates, but God prepares and equips us. The enemy intimidates us with powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness and rulers of darkness. He intimidates us with strongholds and high things that exalt itself above God and evil imaginations. He intimidates us with these things, with the world and the flesh that we live in. But God is well able and has equipped us far beyond the enemy could ever intimidate us. Amen. Because think of all that God has done for us. He's provided the Word and faith for us. He gave His Son to us, who died on the cross in our place and did what we could not do. Who took it all, died, resurrected, and ascended. And He said, I take your place. Now, if you're in me, you're a new creature. So just be in me. So He's given us provision, and then He gives us His Son, that if we are in Him, we can't be defeated. And we look through Him. He's the way. He's the beginning and end of our faith. He the answer to every question. He prepares a way now. He makes pathways for us to worship God, to keep faith, to deal with our past, to go to our future. He takes care of all of that for us. And in the midst of this world, He provides the pathways through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And then He gives His Spirit to us, and we can produce fruit, and He gives us gifts, and He's given us unity, and He gives us ministry gifts. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. When the enemy thinks he's done something, he's just come to the very beginning of what God has done for us. Don't you ever be intimidated by the enemy. He is no match for your God. Amen. He's given us armor. He's given us ability. Okay? Now, here's what I want us to go to tonight. And this is where we're going to end our study tonight. And I got to set this up. I had to go to two boards tonight. Kind of hard to do with a bum shoulder. So one board wasn't enough tonight. Here is what I come to show you tonight. This is a simplified picture of that. Amen. Okay. Victory, spiritual victory, the victory in spiritual battle in the Word is all about identity. I want you to hear that. Victory in the Word is all about identity. If you don't hear, you got to hear that. Here's how you win victory. You stay in the lanes prepared for you. The outside of those lanes is all this stuff. But He's prepared a way for us to worship, faith, past, deal with the past, and live with the future, and to live in the present. You live in Christ, and you war through Christ. Okay, now we have stumbled into a biblical principle. We stumbled into it, but God has had it prepared all the while. Do you know this same principle is seen in the Old Testament? In the old covenant, there were sacrifices. Adam had this principle. Noah lived by this principle. Abraham lived by the principle. I'm gonna show you. Joseph, Joshua, Moses, David, Rahab, Esther, all of them lived with the principle. There was something given to them that gave them the avenue to worship God in the rightful place, Jehovah God. Something to establish their faith that separated them from the world. Something that dealt with their past and gave them a future and let them live victoriously in their present. See, from the beginning of the book, God had hidden the principle in the pictures. And it was all about identity. As long as they kept their identity as children of Abraham, they were victorious. Amen. What was the factor of the children of Abraham? Well, let's just think about it. Think about Abraham. Here's what Abraham was, the father of faith. Abraham, like everybody else, this was pre-law, would make an altar. Sacrifice. Covenant. The sacrifice at an altar goes all the way back to the beginning. Amen. Goes all the way back to Cain and Abel. And most scholars will say goes all the way back to God making a sacrifice for covering for Adam and Eve when they realized they were naked. That the altar. See, Abraham and those that would follow after him, as long as they kept their identity as children of Abraham, with the altar in its right place, they would be victorious. Here's another thought. As long as they were the keepers of the law of Moses, that their identity was Israel, the keeper of the law of Moses. And where was that represented? By the tabernacle. The law was given, then they would place it in the Ark of the Covenant, and then there would be a tabernacle that they would all gather around. The priests would go and do their things in the tabernacle. As long as they kept their identity at the tabernacle, they would be victorious. Amen. But didn't stop there. There's still more that we need to understand. Look at David. They're the kingdom of David, the star of David, greatest king Israel ever had. And when they had their identity at the temple, he got the instructions for it. Solomon built it. And as long as they kept sacrifice, kept the law, kept the altar pure, they were victorious. How many know that? You can look through Israel's history. As long as they kept the altar pure, they won. As long as the tabernacle was in its right place and they were following the law, they won. When they walked outside of that and mixed and mingled with the world, they lost every time. In David's day and on into Solomon's day, and then after that, as long as the temple was kept right, holy, and pure, there was peace in Solomon's day. But afterward, when mixture and mingling came in, they lost. As long as they kept their identity in what God had revealed to them, they had victory over their enemies. Amen. It was temporary, but it was victory. If they mingled, mixed, or corrupted at all, at any time, they would immediately lose victory. Are y'all in agreement with me? See, this was a, there's a picture. There's types and there's shadows. That the altar, the tabernacle, the temple, that was their worship. They were keeping God in His rightful place. Their sacrifices, the blood of animals and sacrifices, was their faith. That meant as long as they were keeping the sacrifice, keeping the law, walking with God, keeping God in the rightful place, as long as that was in right place, then everything was good, and then their past was covered and their future was settled. Amen. As long as they stayed in the revelation that the Father had given them at that time. We don't hold them to the revelation He's given in the new covenant. We look at them in the revelation He had given them. But these were types and shadows. The New Testament, the new covenant, is all about Christ. And Christ provided fullness of all of it. He fulfilled everything. The New Testament is all about Christ and Him crucified. This is our victory. This is our identity. Amen. Let me show you. I drew this out and I want you to see this. Here is the sacrifice. They would cut it up, burn it, it's a sacrifice, and that's the aroma that's going up, the smoke that's going. The smoke would go up, the aroma would go up unto the Father. That was their worship. Their sacrifice was their faith. Amen? Here they are, and they're carrying and bringing their sacrifice that was representing the sin of their past. And sheep, and boat, bulls. And amen? So they're bringing their past to their present so that they can sacrifice by faith and they can worship God, and then they can walk victoriously into the future. Amen. You got to hear this. See, that is the picture that in the time of the altar. The Abraham was breaking covenant. Noah, when he got out of the ark, he built an altar. Amen? Abraham built an altar before the Lord as covenant was being made. And he was to take us out. Abraham was asked to take his own son. Amen? But God provided the ram. But here's what was happening in the time of the altar. There was sacrifice that offered up worship to God, putting God in the right place. They would bring their past to meet Him there, and they would walk forward in the future. In the time of the tabernacle, Moses, while they're traveling all around in the wilderness, Moses has given them the law. They're traveling before the temple would be established, wherever the tabernacle was. They would bring their sacrifices representing the sins of their past. Amen? And they would bring them to the place of sacrifice, the tabernacle, and it would go up as worship before God, and then they could walk on in victory in the time of the temple. See, in the time of the altar, they had to build the altar. In the time of the tabernacle, they had to erect the tabernacle wherever they were staying at. And in the time of the temple, they all had to come to the temple. Something happened when Christ comes on the scene. And just like their identity was found in the altar, in the tabernacle, in the temple, by the law, by who they identified. That's why when Jesus came along, they had such a hard time. They said, well, we're Abraham's seed. That was their identity. But they didn't realize there had been a change. Well, we're the children of David. They didn't realize there had been a transition. But we got to keep the law. They didn't realize that was just a picture. Amen. See, their identity was still there. But our identity is not, our identity is not in an altar. It's not in the tabernacle. It's not in the temple. Here, you got to hear me. Those that followed with Moses and came between Moses and David, they identified with Abraham, but they didn't live like Abraham. They lived as Moses told them to live. And then once David came along, and then once the temple was built, they didn't live like Moses and those up until the time of the temple lived. They now live coming to the temple. Amen. And so, just like their identities were there, that's not our identity. Our identity is Christ. And in Him, Galatians 3, 26 through 29, you can write it down and go read it. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, bond nor free. Our identity is in Christ. He is the fullness of this picture. In Christ, He deals with our past. We're new creatures. Through Christ, He establishes our faith. Because I look through Him. He's the author and finisher. By His Spirit, I'm pointed to right worship. And as His body, I have a future. Here's the change. The Bible says, Paul writes, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? I'm about to help somebody. I really am, and I know what time it is. I'm about to help you. Because here is the picture. Because now, the altar, the tabernacle, the temple, the law, the sacrifices, the shedding of blood for the remission of sins, the words that point us towards the Father, are all in Christ. Fulfilled. He's all in all. And He was the Word made flesh who now dwells in us. Amen. Look at the picture. Remember over here? Jesus. You can just mark this out. God took no pleasure in the blood of bulls and goats. Jesus came from heaven to walk our road, to take care of our past. Jesus goes to the cross. Sacrifices can't do it because it's temporary. He goes to the cross and dies. And becomes a sweet aroma unto the Father. He makes peace with the Father. And because He did, then He rose again. And He walks to the future. And for everyone that's in Him, we do too. This is how you win every spiritual battle. That's how Abraham won, by identity. That's how Moses won, by identity. That's how the temple era won. David would win. That's how they would win, with the picture. But we have more than the picture. We have the author and the finisher. Amen. And it wasn't temporary. He is the future that all the others pointed to. Amen. And here he carries us. Here he dies for us. Here he represents us to the Father. And here he leads us to our future. And so every battle the enemy tries to fight with us over worship, faith, the past, and the present, Jesus has won. And if we are in him, empowered by the Spirit leads us to look to him, we have victory. I'm going to close here. Matthew 16. This just hit me today. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, what does he tell us to do? We know this. If anyone desires to come after me, what does he tell us to do? To deny yourself and to do what? Take up your cross. Look with it. Deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. So if anyone wants to follow him, we must deny ourselves and we must take up our cross. But here's what the Lord shows me today. You know what my cross is? You know what my cross is? It's not, oh, how terrible my life's going to be. Oh, I'm just going to bear my burdens. I'm willing, Lord, to just struggle along. You know what my cross is? My cross is the one Jesus hung on. And so to follow him, I take up what he already did. And I deny my flesh, and I walk with him. This was our cross. But he took it. And he made a way for us. Here, you remember I said, and I'm gonna stop because I've got to. The altar, you had to find the stones and put it together. The tabernacle, you had to be journeying along with it, and it had to be erected and set up. The temple, you had to travel from wherever you were to the temple. But in Christ, wherever you are, He is. He's with you. He is Emmanuel, God with us. We are in Him. He is in us. Wherever we are, we've got the path. Now turn to somebody and tell them, wherever you're at right now, you've got the pathways to be victorious in every spiritual battle. Because wherever you are, Jesus is there, and He's already taken care of the path to worship, and the path to faith, and the how to deal with your past, and how to look to your future, and how to live in your present. Just take up the cross, your cross that He hung on, that He died on, that He was victorious over, and walk with Him. I'm going to tell you, if we can catch this revelation, the enemy has lost every one of us that are here today. He'll never defeat us again. Never again. If we'll deny ourselves. Because here's ourselves. This is what it includes. It's all this garbage. That's us. But if we deny all that, and we take up this, then we go with Him. And we follow Him. Then everywhere we're at, we have the pathways to be victorious. Whew, golly. I wish someone more eloquent than me would say this. because they would have been able to say it quickly and stop a long time ago, but I can't. Stand to your feet with me. That's the answer, guys. That's the answer. When you're depressed, that's the answer. When you're bound by habits, that's the answer. Because guess what? This is where habits live. That's where bondage is. That's where all the works of the flesh are. That's where all the lust is. And the pride. But that's where victory is.